show is about to start.
Reese on the radio.
Turn it up.
Turn it up loud.
Turn it up loud.
Like a dream come true.
Turn on your radio. Reese is on the radio.
Yo, let's get up.
Due to the nature of this program, discretion does not exist.
It's Reese on the radio, right now, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah! Scallywags, muckmakers, conversationalists, and patriots. Let's give it up for Charlie Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. Patriot, and dare I say martyr today. And we can all be happy or proud at law enforcement for doing their job, finding the individual who is responsible for taking the life of somebody who inspired so many. And as much as I'm going to talk about that, and I'll get into it, I'll get very, very deep into this because there are several questions that need to be asked. But I may have to, and I'm not trying to do it to be mean. I'm not sitting up on high thumbing my nose at these people. I see it a lot, and I try to ignore it. I never put or bring attention to certain things that I think are of no consequence. I know that people are grasping at things to sort of start a conversation and then sort of patting themselves on the back afterwards and saying, see, I started that. I pick it up real quick. It's so easy to point out. And I don't mention those people's names because it doesn't matter whether or not they have a whole lot of influence. It doesn't matter whether or not they have more followers than me. I ain't looking for that. I've said that a long time ago. Never cared. I'm just a guy. I cover the news. I cover it in a unique way, and I talk about it with you. This isn't about fame. It was a long time ago when I used to think it was. But it's not. I have a job to do. So I'll try not to address it in a way that I'm like, you know, like I said, looking down my nose towards these people. I get it. I know who they are and why they do the things that they do. It's like a twitch. But it'll be later on in the show. I don't even want to get into so much about this young man and his twisted view on the world. But I do have to say this before we get into it. And this is one of the cases where I'm going to mention his name because it's important to this conversation. We are not looking at somebody who is mentally deranged. Other than the fact that he thought, felt, or understood in his own mind that his actions were necessary, pure, and righteous. People love to use the term mental or a diseased mind. No. There's more to this than that. And I thought about this before the show. Reeves, you don't want to come off as blaming the other side and pointing fingers. I don't. I don't want to point at the other side. I don't want to point fingers. But I'm sorry, folks. I don't have a choice. I don't. Because what I am doing is not what Tyler Robinson did here. I am not calling for anyone to be harmed. I am calling for people to reflect. There's a difference. And that conversation could be had with Charlie Kirk, asking him to reflect on what he was thinking. That's what this whole thing was about. That's what this conversation is about on this program, is asking you to reflect on what you are thinking. If I think that what your beliefs are wrong, I want to ask you questions. Okay, why? What does that mean? Why do you think that? I want to investigate. When I first got here, there were people who told me, and you know who you are, and I'm not admonishing people here, but you know who you are. You told me, why do I bother? You said, why do you bother, Reese? They're never going to get it. And I said, I need to understand why people think the way that they think. In order for me to influence them, in order for me to find where they are and to get them to some semblance of reality, I have to know why they think the things that they do. It is important to the conversation. You guys have come a long way from when you used to attack me about that. Just hang up on them. Man, when you talk to that guy, people turn away. And I got to be honest with you. So what? I'm not here for you. With all due respect, this is not an echo chamber. I said it from the beginning, and I've been true to that. I want to speak to the other side. Got to. You know it, and I have been absolutely that way from the beginning. And I told them, I said, I know they won't come. I know they won't be here, but the invitation is always open. It has been wide open. Sure, many of them will meet me in the chat room. They've joined me in the chat room, and they have been fearful to come here and get on the phones so I can talk it out. And I'll give them as much time as they need. But if you thought you were going to get a show where we were all going to pat each other on the back and talk about how profound and how righteous we were, that was never going to be the beginning or the end of this program. It's never going to be that way. So, we have to think. And that is people on the left, too, who listen to this program. We have to think about what we know now. Where did Tyler Robinson get his beliefs from? Stop and ask yourself, where? From what we've learned about the community he lived, it was an overwhelmingly traditional neighborhood with traditional ideals. His father, law enforcement. His mom, doting. She loved her children. She reveled in how smart her boy was. There's an X feed that shows how this woman was just showing all of these pictures of Tyler, how proud she was of him, how smart he was, what his test scores were. She held him on high. We are not looking at a child who was unloved. So what happened to him? As many people are saying right now, it was indoctrination, social media, and friends. Yes, yes, but it ain't that simple. Whom did he listen to? Who were the thought leaders he followed? What did he write on those bullets that are similar to those ideals? I'd like to throw a quick one out there. This must be dealt with ideologically, and the question must be asked again. Whether it's Anderson Cooper or Aaron Burnett or Dana Bash or Brett Baer or anyone, when this individual goes on their book tour, this question must be asked. Why? Because of what we know that was written on the bullets.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Where did he get his beliefs from? These are important things to ask. As these people ask for your votes, As these people ask for your support, they must be asked, what do they think about people who think differently from them? We know they have said the people they are in opposition to are fascists. And Tyler wrote, said, hey, fascists, catch. This is not one of those whataboutisms. Whataboutism is important to people who are trying to deflect, to get as far away from the responsibility now. And don't get me wrong. No one is responsible for what Tyler Robinson decided to do 2 days ago. But you have to ask, where did he get his beliefs from? And I say that because, do you remember when we were told certain people had to be deprogrammed? That some people had to be taken out of their brainwashed state? Does anybody remember the word cult being bandied about? Does anybody believe that Tyler Robinson was sitting alone, quietly, drumming up the word fascist by himself? The idea that Charlie Kirk, a guy who was politically active, a guy who was in his own honest way, was a kingmaker when it came to the young vote for Donald J. Trump. He was the most influential political leader of a generation. The kids he influenced are referring to him as John F. Kennedy. They are referring to his assassination in the same way. His influence as a political leader is being compared to that of an assassination of a president. They saw Charlie Kirk as a possible president of the United States who was only 4 years away from being eligible. Yeah. His birthday next month. When you hear about Charlie Kirk and you hear these people posting things about Charlie Kirk's vitriol and fascism, when you hear that, I want you to listen to this. When you think about Tyler Robinson, think about this.
Fuck you, I hate you.
Would you like to have a substantive conversation? Or?
A substantive? No, man. Would
you like to have a conversation?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't like you. I think you spread hate. I think you spread bigotry. I think you a lot of people off because you're just an awful person. I don't think you really want to debate because you're just here to people off and energize your crowd of racists.
What have I ever said that's racist?
Oh, what?
Can you name one thing?
I'm Hispanic. Can I support Charlie?
Can you name
a... Does that mean anything? I think you're just trying to play a game, and I think this is obviously going to be used.
What have I ever said that's hateful?
I just want to hate you. You're awful. Get off my campus.
When have I ever said anything that's hateful? Have a nice day.
As I was talking to Roseanne yesterday, and I said, look at the two people having a discussion. One person calm, collected. The other person cursing, screaming, hollering, calling him a racist, a fascist, ticking people off, calling people who supported him racist. I love the way that people are posting when I'm asking simple questions about what did he deserve, and people keep posting what it was he said, allegedly. By the way, I fact-checked a couple of you when I posted it underneath your little posters and your memes. What happened? What happened? Nothing. You didn't apologize. You didn't take the post down. But you were fact-checked. That young man that you just heard was an acolyte of Tyler Robinson and his rhetoric, wasn't he? We know, confirmed, having spoken to folks, law enforcement has found people said that Tyler was openly talking about his hatred for Charlie Kirk and the fact that he was coming into town. His hatred for him. We got breaking news on that, by the way. We'll get to that later. That which you heard. Racist, they said. Here's Charlie Kirk and some more of his racism.
Unfortunately, in the black community, dads are the most absent of any community. About two-thirds of all black youth will be raised without a stable father around. And I know it's crazy, right? And that little precious angel of yours deserves to have a father around.
That's Charlie Kirk talking to a black mother at one of his events on a college campus.
You know, for daughters and for sons, it's different things. For a daughter, that's a father figure to look up to say that is how a man should act and someone that I ought to one day marry, someone that will protect me from a vicious world, and someone that makes me understand what strength and not brutality looks like, what justice but not revenge looks like. To have a father figure is a silent way of forming a child to be a mature citizen. And unfortunately, as we've removed dads from families, government has come in and has taken the place. So peace.
We'll play some more of that later. Such bigotry. I heard so much hatred in that. There's so much in there. We got more news and more views. We're not done with this. We'll get into Tyler Robinson, what he planned on doing before his father turned him in. When we come back, stand by. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen to WTIC News Talk 1080 on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC today for alerts on special programming.
We are back. Plenty of stuff to get into, of course, in relation to the assassin, Tyler Robinson, how he was apprehended, and what we are learning more and more about his father turning him in or telling him to turn himself in. We'll get into that in a very detailed way. So it has been suggested by somebody on the left in my chat room and said, I'll read it exactly. It appears that Reese is going to sanitize Charlie Kirk's comments. I will play Charlie Kirk's comments, which is what I've been doing and have done. I will continue to do that. But I do suggest to you, Bob J, post any comments that you feel are problematic with video, not memes, not words that are taken out of context, actual video. Since you're sitting there by your laptop, go do the work I've done to prepare this show and share with the crowd, share with the class, exactly what you're talking about that you don't want sanitized. I will gladly play them raw right here on the air. Just make them available. I'll grab the clips and I will play them raw. The one thing that I know that in those comments, Charlie Kirk will not curse and he will not say anything inflammatory. I can bet on that. Here's why, Bob. Because I've listened to Charlie Kirk. I wasn't even considered, I wouldn't consider myself a fan or a follower of his. I know his work, I know who he is, and I understand it, but that's my job. So I challenge you, sir, since I'm going to sanitize them, we'll give you the opportunity to take over a little portion of the show and post the so-called comments that you call inflammatory so that they're not sanitized. We'll wait. But we won't hold our breaths. Now, another person in the chat room has written this, and I would like to read it. Let me start by saying that Charlie Kirk nor anyone else should be killed for their beliefs. I take no solace in Kirk's death. However, that's a fancy word for but. And by the way, when you say however, you've completely deleted your earlier comment. Work on that. However, I have read about Kirk's belief beliefs. You didn't hear them directly from Kirk. You read about his beliefs. And many seem to be racist. Seem, but not seem. Okay. You'd like to give an example. He gives one. For example, he did not believe the 1964 Civil Rights Act should have been passed. He goes on, and I'm going to address that. As a black male, how do you square your support of Kirk with his stance on civil rights? Admittedly, I don't understand black conservatives. I have listened to Sowell, Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, I'm assuming he means Peterson, Jesse Peterson, Larry Elder, Cornel West, not Cornel West, right? I think he means Adam West, sorry, and yourself, and I still don't get it. I'm not looking for an argument, just an understanding. I'm happy to help you. I heard this argument very early on, and it was not from Charlie Kirk the first time I heard it. I heard it from Rand Paul. Many of you who follow this and you are wonks like I am, you will probably remember that this argument was made by Rand Paul, and he got a lot of feedback for it. But when it was explained why he thought this way about the 1964 Civil Rights Act, people were like, okay, that makes sense. He wasn't saying that blacks were not afforded or shouldn't be afforded civil rights. He was saying that the Constitution already did that. Now think about it. The Civil Rights Act is what I call, and Charlie Kirk did, redundant. You see, the Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to all Americans. For a Civil Rights Act to be written is a platitude. It's suggesting that it's a carve-out for a particular group of individuals, not seeing them as whole or human or part of the Constitution. When you do that, you give license to race baiters to say, see, we had to have a Civil Rights Act in this country because the Constitution did not afford them their basic human rights. And what Charlie Kirk was saying was that he was grabbing, the government was in essence telling private business owners how to behave. Can you imagine if you could do that for anything under the sun, if you had a carve out for a particular behavior or a particular way of life that would say that you are a protected class? Now I'll go back just to the person who's writing. I'll go back, and I said this, and I told this story, and I tell it all the time, because again, for some odd reason, it keeps coming back up. I told you the story about a young lady that myself and Justin were driving down to Fredericksburg out of D.C. She was moving out of her D.C. apartment and moving back in with her parents. She was a lawyer for the Environmental Protection Agency under Joe Biden. And she was about to get promoted as an attorney somewhere else. She was a younger woman in her early 30s, late 20s. And Justin, I wish he didn't, my wife does it a lot, talked about my podcast and the things that I talk about. Oh, really? What do you talk about? And I hate it when people do that because then I'm stuck in a box with them to have to tell them about my conservatism. When I know, and I can tell from the way they speak, they're liberals and they're probably going to be uncomfortable. And I'm probably not going to get a tip. But in that conversation, we start talking about protected classes. And I gave her an example. And for those of you who have heard this before, I apologize for having to repeat it, but there are some new people out there listening for this particular questioner in the chat room. I asked her, if a Muslim refused to bake a cake for a gay couple and a Christian baker denied making a gay couple a birthday cake or a wedding cake or a celebration, who had the protection of religious liberty? Her answer, I thought, would be, well, religious liberty is sacrosanct. A person says that they can't do something because of their religious faith, they are protected. Her answer was as to be expected. Well, what? Well, the Muslim, you can understand, but the Christian, he should make the cake. Whoa, wait. My immediate response was, whatever happened to equal under the law? When it makes a lawyer, again, me, not a lawyer, I graduated from Law and Order University. 12 years I spent at that school. When an actual lawyer who passed the bar, which is very difficult to do from what I hear, is troubled by the idea of equal under the law, you understand exactly what Charlie Kirk is talking about. You are carving out a group of people as a protected class, therefore suggesting they have more human, civil, actual rights than everyone else. You may think that those things are important based upon your worldview, especially that of the United States. We have to have it, because if we don't, then people will be allowed to do this, that, and the third. Well, what have we seen thus far recently? We are seeing more and more white people suing their businesses that they used to work for, companies they used to work for. For what? For discrimination against their whiteness. Knowing that they were qualified, knowing that they had put in the time, knowing that they were overlooked. And people see those stories and they're completely shocked. A white man actually sued a company for civil rights? I've seen black people say it all over the time. I see them on the Griot in every one of those black Twitter places saying a white man was actually suing for civil rights and he won, because guess what? Each and every one of them thought that the term civil rights was just for them. A carve-out for one particular group of people. They abandoned the idea that civil rights means that no one be discriminated against based upon their race or their gender. This includes white folks too, which is already embedded in the Constitution. Overkill. Redundant. So if you can't understand why he would say that, you obviously have not been listening to Charlie Kirk. It doesn't even take Charlie Kirk to explain that to you. It takes rationale. It takes, as you folks like to say, open-mindedness, being thoughtful and reflective. I don't even need to understand Charlie Kirk. I don't even need to follow him to understand. I knew what Rand Paul meant when he said it. Because again, I'm always critically thinking. I am always going, yeah, that doesn't make sense if we're all equal under the law. I don't need a carve out. The Constitution already protects me because I am inherently American. Now, I hope that helped you. If it did not, that's fine too. But I need you to think about it. And think about it in an objective way. That's all it's about. It's not to be, you know, divisive. It's not to be angry. It's not to be ticked off. It's nothing about that. It's about understanding what it is. I know you need the civil rights movement. I know that's important to people. And I understand that when it's personal to you, you have a hard time seeing outside of it. You become very, very, you blinders on. You become myopic. I get it. But think about it. It's the Constitution. If you see yourself as an American, if you see yourself as a citizen of these United States, and you understand the Constitution, and you don't follow this stupid trope that it wasn't written for you, you got to get out of that mindset. The Constitution, you may not think it was written for you, but it is yours. Don't let the old white men, as you like to call them, by the way, they were all fairly young, don't let this idea that because they were old and white and from the 1700s, that they weren't thinking about you in the future. They didn't even know you. The Constitution is for all American citizens, regardless of what you thought about them and their racial background or where they came from. They wrote a document wisely that protected us all. We don't need a carve out. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Reese on the Radio returns. in a moment.
It's Race on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
All right, we are back, and thank you. I want to thank Silvermine, who's on the YouTube page. Thank you so much. And I, again, trying to be spot on is something that I try to obtain all the time, so I thank you very much. I don't know if you're new here. I think you've been here before, but I just want to thank you. So I'm actually sending you a message that says thank you in the chat room over on YouTube. I don't really promote a lot of the YouTube channel, probably because I don't understand it as much and I don't really have the time to learn. I need to get a tech guy or at least a social media guy on, like, my thing. Like, some people listen to it on YouTube. It grows, but Facebook is kind of where everybody goes, and I appreciate the viewership. As I said in the beginning of the show, you know, I'm not in it for clicks. I'm not trying to be a shock jock, as I've often been accused of. I'm very thoughtful in this because I think a conversation is important, and I saw that statement in there about how Charlie Kirk's comments about the Civil Rights Act that somebody would take so personal. And the point would say that because he said that about the Civil Rights Act, that he was attacking some sort of sacred cow. And I believe that the conversation about that needs to be understood. You are asking the government to tell private business how they should behave. Now, if I could, I want to go back to that in this sense. And we'll take phone calls in the next hour. Because, of course, we're not doing headlines this week because I almost feel like that's disrespectful to the memory of Charlie Kirk and this story and the importance of it. So we'll get to your phone calls in the next hour. But I want to say this. This is important to all of this in this conversation I was saying about the Civil Rights Act. So a famous radio personality out of Cleveland, Ohio, named Lynn Tolliver, who passed away a couple of years ago. He and I were on a podcast on the West Coast. Him in Ohio and me in Virginia. And he and I would often battle on the air. Ideologically, we had no animus towards each other. He didn't really like me in the beginning because he couldn't believe that a black man had the views that I did. And Lynn Tolliver was a black R&B, you know, radio DJ in Cleveland for a lot of years. Very famous guy. And Hugh and I were in a debate one day, and he was talking about that famous Supreme Court case where the pizzeria guy didn't want to make a pizza for the gay couple, the lesbian couple, and it ended up in the Supreme Court because he was talking about his Christian faith. But anyway, Lynn was asking me about it, and Lynn said, Reese, I don't get it. That doesn't make any sense. You know, like when you go into a business and somebody asks you to do something, you can't discriminate against them and not make the pie for them or whatever it was that they were asking for. That's wrong. And so I was waiting. It's funny because, you could be on the show and be on the bus. And I was on the phone and I was waiting for the bus. And I said to Lynn, I totally get what you're talking about. So I would like to make this personal to you. And he was like, okay, how? I said, Lynn, you own a bakery in Cleveland, and David Duke arrives and walks into your door. Cling, cling. Hello, Lynn Tolliver. How you doing? Yeah, I need you to make me a cake celebrating the 150th anniversary of my Klan chapter. Lynn, are you making the cake? And Lynn said, hell no. And I said, I'll see you in the Supreme Court, sir. I will see you in the Supreme Court, and I would expect you and all of your accolades to think that the Supreme Court is going to make you make that Klan cake. Your principals were immediately kicked in and said, nope, I ain't no way. If my neighbors and my friends and my community found out that I made a commemorative cake for the Klan, are you kidding me? I'd be out of business. Well, sir, that's not your religious liberty. There's nothing religious that prevents you from making a cake for the Klan. You have to do it. Don't you? If we're setting the same standards, if his religious freedom means nothing, then your racial position means nothing. Unless you are saying that religious liberty has less rights than your moral. And he thought about that and said, okay, that makes sense to me. That does. As a black man, I could not. And that's all the point I was trying to make to him and plenty of others. Is that if it's equal under the law, it must always be equal under the law. Always. Not part of the time. Not here. Not there. Always. And this idea that Charlie Kirk, again, Charlie Kirk having his opinions about this, that, and the third, as I said yesterday, so what? What you're not admitting, and I know it's what you're not admitting, is that he had influence, and he was changing hearts and minds, and they were agreeing with him and no longer with you. And I don't know if that's jealousy, I don't know if that's hatred, but I definitely know it's a little bit of both. And the point is, when I asked yesterday, what did he deserve? The answer should have been to be challenged. That's all